Hey, what's going on, everybody? AJ here, hopping on to recap last night's UFC events. Just going to talk about how the card went from top to bottom, some things I noticed, some surprises, how it went betting-wise, the bets I had, and just kind of doing like a general recap here. And exciting event. Again, I can't say it enough. It's just so awesome to have UFC back. Again, we've got this event last night. We've got a pay-per-view next Saturday. And it's just awesome to, be researching these fights, doing this analysis. Like, I love this stuff, guys. I mean, I don't do this because, like, I want to, make like, a ton of money and I happen to be good at it, or because I want to be right all the time. No, it's because I enjoy doing this. That's the number one for me. I do this because I enjoy doing this. I enjoy researching the fighters. I enjoy just, doing everything that it takes to... learn about the sport and just, again, research it, watch it, enjoy it. That's the number one thing for me, is just to sit back and enjoy these cards that we have. And it's not a make or break for me in terms of having a good overall night. I'm doing well betting-wise as I prioritize, again, the enjoyment, the fulfillment of actually just the whole process of studying the fighters, researching, analyzing, and then, come fight night, just sit down and enjoy the fight. So I really love doing this, guys, and I thank each and every one of you for your support. It really means a lot to me here. And with that said, let's just dive right into this card. It was a great card. Just a lot of interesting takeaways here. So going into this card, a lot of the talk was the shorter cage, which... with the first four fights finishing, it seemed like it was going to be this trend of, perhaps these fights are finishing with more frequency. But then as I started to note that in my head, more and more fights went to decision. A couple after the fact still finished, like Dern versus Cyphers and then Roberts versus Weaver, which I'll of course talk about. But it was just interesting. So, like that shorter cage, increase the... ability of those fighters that need to close distance, close distance in comparison to that 30-foot cage. And, perhaps there is something to the finishing with higher frequency. We don't really, know for fact, at least I don't. Just would like to see it more. But, just stuff we could apply to this next card and the future cards that will be taking place in this octagon here. Because after the first couple fights with those two fights so unlikely to go, not go to decision, Kenny versus Smolka and Gutierrez versus Morales was very likely to go to decision, didn't go to decision, and then that's when I kind of thought, like, okay, we're on to something here with, perhaps these fights are finishing, but we'll just have to see and wait it out. Stuff like this, the nuggets like these are interesting, but I don't factor them in more than my overall research analysis, my assessment of the stylistic matchup, and all the hard work I've done. It's interesting stuff to note, but I don't find it more compelling than all the other variables in doing this whole process here. So, with that said, let's just talk about the first fight, Chris Gutierrez versus Vince Morales. This was just a spot where, the leg kicks of Gutierrez were just so, so powerful. He... is a very talented striker. I think both fighters are talented strikers. Gutierrez, I think, is the more technical striker. I think he's also got, more tools, too. But by no means did I think the fight was going to go down like this. The leg kicks, again, have proven to be such a key ingredient to fighter success. I mean, it's not the sexiest thing to go out there and just chop legs rather than, going for the knockout or getting that, going for the head strikes and whatnot. The submission victories or whatnot, but it is super, super effective. These leg kicks, as we're seeing, and it's so, so important to check them if you can. And it was a huge factor in this fight. And honestly, I mean, Gutierrez, it was a simple but very effective game plan. I mean, just watching him fight and seeing how much success he had with those kicks, it's like, I can't blame the guy for keep going to the well on those, because if Morales wasn't checking them and Gutierrez was having so much success, utilizing them, then why wouldn't he keep going to the well? So very good performance by Gutierrez. I like to see how he looks going forward. I do think he is a talented fighter. Round three, during my research, there was a couple things that I thought weren't handled optimally there, but again, nonetheless, he did round three of previous fights, just to clarify. I do like his overall skill set. He is a very talented striker. Does have a capable ground game as well. So looking forward to, you know, him going forward. As far as Morales, I don't know that he's going to be with the UFC now that he's 1-3 going forward. Hopefully he does, but it'll be interesting to see how things shake out. It was just a huge surprise to see this fight finish the way it did. So kudos to Gutierrez. That was a very good game plan. Luis Smolka versus Casey Kenney. This was my first bet of the night. I had 4 units on Casey Kenney to win. Of course, all my bets are third-party tracked and verified at betmma.tips. They're also verified at other places as well. And yeah, I mean, I'm really, I guess, shocked that the fight went the way it did with the finish as quickly as it materialized. You know, I picked Kenny to win, but picked him to win by decision. Felt good about the bet. Just better striker, better wrestler, better grappler. Just thought he had a lot of advantages here against Smolka, and they were all by a wide margin. So that's why I was comfortable betting him, even at a high line. And Smolka, yeah, his fights to me, it's kind of similar to Jussie Formiga. Like, he tends to struggle in fights where he doesn't have the wrestling and or grappling advantage, and then he tends to win them if he does have that advantage. It's very similar to Formiga, and you know, Smolka is a guy that goes out there and puts forth his best effort. Very tough guy. He'll definitely, I think, stay around in the UFC despite this loss. He's 2-2 since his second stint with the UFC. But yeah, looking forward to seeing where both guys go. Good performance by Kenny. Both guys talented, and yeah, just good performance by Kenny. And impressive submission victory there. Tim Elliott versus Brandon Royval. I had a total of 3 units on Tim Elliott to win. He was doing well there and then got tired. He's just got a very aggressive style. He's, you know, slowed down in fights in the past, but it didn't really come back to bite him like it did here. Again, losing by submission here to Royval, who is a guy that comes from LFA. From what I could tell on his Instagram, he's a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So, guy's definitely got a very good foundation of skill sets. And it was nice to see him finish the fight in the second round, because my read on Royval was that prior to this fight was he tends to struggle in fights if he doesn't win in round one, because I have seen him slow down. And, you know, it was just nice to see that he despite losing here, the early onslaught of Elliott, he was able to overcome it and get that submission victory there. So good on Royval. My bet missed on Elliott to win, but I also did have 2.5 units on the fight does not go to decision. So I thought Elliott was going to be the party more likely to get it done inside the distance. But I also, part of the reason why I placed that bet was I thought that if Royval was going to win this fight, it was going to be by finish. So just a nice little cash there, I guess, and I'm glad it worked out. So good performance by Royval. From what I could tell on the internet, he did get a performance bonus, so that's awesome. Good for him. And a guy that I think will be exciting going forward to watch. So good performance by him. Jamal Hill versus Clitson Abreu. This was another bet. I had 1.75 units on the fight does not go the 3-round distance. And I really like Hill. Like, I think he's a really talented guy. Only 8-0. Like, he's a guy, and it's been said before, like, because he's so young in his mixed martial arts career, and he does have a lot of potential of just watching him fight, he's going to get better by a significant margin each and every time he goes out there. Similar to, like, a Montel Jackson or even, like, a Roosevelt Roberts that is I'll talk about later here. He's just a guy that I think, like, obviously all these fighters are in the gym working hard and they're improving each and every fight, but it kind of depends on where they're at in their career as to how pronounced those improvements are. And a guy like Jamal Hill, who, again, is just 8-0, this was only his second fight in the UFC, I think he's got the potential here to just, again, get better by a significant margin each and every time out. And that's what we saw here against where he got a finish. Sorry, excuse that ad. Getting a finish here against Abreu, who in his previous 3 fights hadn't been finished, and did very well. I mean, he's excellent at range. He's got a long reach. He's a fast guy, good athlete, throws in combination well. And the other thing, too, is he just throws an abundance of significant strikes. His UFC debut, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but he just, so many distance strikes, just so good at distance. I know his wrestling and grappling is improving as well. So just a guy I think or not I think, but I will keep an eye on going forward because he looks very, very talented and a guy that will be a pleasure to watch going forward. Perform inside the octagon. Abreu, he just couldn't get going here, closing the distance. I did think in this scenario where Abreu won, it was going to be by submission. That's part of the reason why I took the fight doesn't go to decision prop. I didn't really foresee him taking down and controlling Hill because Hill, like, he knows the fundamental, like, from what I've seen on tape, he knows, like, the fundamentals of, like getting up if he gets taken down. You know, he knows to stuff the head, or if you're in the clinch with him, like, he knows to go for underhooks. Like, he's a guy that, again, to my earlier point, is learning more and more, and again, is just going to get better each and every time out there. And out of the other side of the equation with the prop bet was Hill. I did think in a scenario where he won, it was going to be by finish because I had to think that he was just going to be working the body of Abreu, slowing him down over the course of three rounds. And I picked him to win in round three. So it was a pleasant surprise, I guess, for all people that bet Hill or bet the under or bet fight doesn't go to decision that he finished the fight as early as he did. So a great performance by Hill. And yeah, on to the next one. So Daniel Rodriguez versus Gabe Green. Just a quick little side note on this fight. If you play DraftKings, you know, Daniel Rodriguez was odds value galore. He was 7,300, and he had just all the odds value. I don't know exactly what he closed at off the top of my head, but or like over minus 300. Just like everybody else, I had a lot of them too. And it's just one of those things where we don't often see that type of scenario. So I just think in my head that that investment is great long term. Just seeing a guy like that where he's priced and his odds and his chance finish prop as well. And he went out there, fought a hard three rounds against Gabriel Green, who took this fight on very short notice, had a lot of circumstances going against him, hadn't fought since 2018. Short notice, fighting up a weight class, just and fighting a guy in Daniel Rodriguez who I had to think coming to this fight was feeling really good, you know, just after that win against Tim Means. He's a guy that is game. I mean, both guys are after that. I mean, they both showed me, similar to Irwin Rivera when he fought Giga Chikadze one card ago, guy just stepped up on super short notice and just fought very valiantly, and that's what Green did. I mean, he was there for all three rounds. This, you know, Rodriguez won 30-27 times three, but this was not a complete blowout by any means. I mean, Green got in there, landed 127 significant strikes that I'm seeing now on ESPN.com, and yeah, it was a great scrap. I mean, the performance bonuses, I would imagine it was, I would have to think it was a little bit difficult to decipher, okay, who actually gets these bonuses? Because again, similar to these other cards we've had recently, it's like, there's just been so many great performances. I mean, from top to bottom, the fighters that have finished, just these fights that have gone three rounds that are super action-packed like this one. I mean, it was really, really hard to give out performance bonus, I imagine. That's a, you know, like a good problem to have, so to speak, because it just shows that these fighters are going out there and putting on, you know, just putting their skills on display and putting forth their best effort and really just you know, doing amazing. So great performance by both guys, and I think it's just a fight where, despite Green losing, I think his stock went up, and you know, despite Rodriguez not finishing inside the distance, I think his stock went up as well. Just intel we could take similar to these other fights and apply it going forward. Okay, these guys could fight at a high pace for three rounds and on short notice as well. So cardio, toughness, durability, that's going to be there, you know, going forward for these guys. So yeah, great scrap. Next fight, Caitlin Chookagian versus Antonina Shevchenko. Prior to this fight, and I'm not the only one to point this out, Caitlin Chookagian had landed zero takedowns in the UFC thus far. She's got a high BJJ pedigree under Henzo Gracie, according to my research, and that is super impressive. And but the thing though is she more so uses it defensively, like, because again, she's not going out there and attempting takedowns typically, and she's, you know, she could threaten with submissions off of her back. She doesn't allow hardly any advances on the ground because she's so good there. But this was a fight where she went out there, came in with the game plan of getting this fight to the ground, and that's what she did. And one or two takedowns, if my memory serves me correctly, she just went straight to mount after taking down Antonina, and just, I mean, it was 30-25 times three. And again, those scorecards are indicative as to how the fight went down, because once Caitlin got her down, she was able to hold position, threaten with submissions, utilize ground and pound. I mean, she looked very, very dominant here. And she's a very talented fighter. Again, a woman who just fought Valentina, Antonina's sister, last fight. she's more so thought of as a striker because, again, that's primarily what she looks to do in fights. You know, she's a technical striker. She likes to keep range. She's capable of throwing in volume. But this was nice to see her go to her ground game, which is also excellent. And, again, just go out there and get a very, very good win here against Antonina Shevchenko. I thought this fight was going to stay standing for all three rounds. I thought Antonina was going to win. But it was very, very impressive to see and smart of Caitlin to go out there, implement a wrestling and grappling-based game plan, and just, I mean, use it optimally, basically. I mean, again, those scorecards are very telling as to how well she did in this fight. So Antonina showed great toughness. Caitlin showed just she could put on a great dominant performance there. So good fights. Just some intel to take forward. You know, Caitlin, she utilizes that ground game. That's definitely going to be another compelling tool she could utilize in future matchups. Mackenzie Dern versus Hannah Cyphers. This was, you know, obviously not a huge surprise. Dern was the biggest favorite on the card, depending on what book you look at. She's just had such a massive advantage on the ground. You know, Hannah Cyphers isn't a bad grappler by any means. She's a purple belt. I have seen some stuff on tape. You know, she could threaten with submissions off of her back. She's definitely capable on the ground, but Mackenzie Dern is about as credentialed as you could get in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. She is so good on the ground. I mean, I look at her like medal resume. I'm basically looking at it and going, like, what medal doesn't she have, basically? I mean, she's just about as accomplished as you could get in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So all it took for this fight was to hit the ground once and Dern finished the fight. Even off of her back, she's a threat. You know, the striking exchanges were on paper competitive, and that's how it basically played out. You know, Cyphers, you could argue, was getting the upper hand there, but not by like a significant margin or anything like that. And again, Dern's advantage on the ground was just so pronounced that it only took one time and she was able to get the knee bar there. So valiant effort by both women. Dern is now 3-1 in the UFC. So kudos to her. Only loss coming to Amanda Ribas, but obviously Ribas is so talented. You know, it's no secret. She's got an abundance of talent, and that was also Dern's first fight coming off a layoff, so there's kind of tough circumstances there, and it was a fight where even myself, I didn't quite know where Ribas was at. I knew she was talented, but I'm like, is she going to beat Mackenzie Dern? I leaned no, and I actually bet Dern in that spot, and it was a nice surprise to see Ribas go out there and perform excellently and continue to keep that up. So, but anyway, digress a little bit there. As it pertains to this matchup here, very good effort here by both women. Good performance by Mackenzie Dern. Roosevelt Roberts, this is another bet I had. I had 3 units on Roosevelt to win. Similar to the Kenny matchup, Roosevelt was a huge favorite, but I just thought that he had many advantages here, and they were all pronounced, so I didn't mind laying the juice, so to speak, on him. I just thought better striker here, better cardio, better wrestler, better grappler. They were all by a wider margin here, and just went out there and fought excellently. Brock, I knew, was going to be game. He fought very tough. He hung in there, but Roosevelt's a guy where, according to my research, I believe he's a BJJ brown belt, but he's a guy where he's just a submission threat. Even in the clinch, like he'll go for the submission. He knows what he wants to do. I like to see that on tape of fighters. Like, Roosevelt could strike well. He's a good athlete. He's got some tricky knees and stuff like that. His striking is definitely solid and improving, but his strength is on the ground. He wants to take the fight to the ground, look to advance position, and then threaten with submission. So, and utilized that game plan here and was able to get a rear naked choke against Weaver. And good performance by Roberts. He's a guy similar to what I said about Hill earlier, who I think is going to get significantly better each and every time out. He had a little setback there against Vince Bichel, but Bichel is a very talented fighter in his own right. And again, it's just one of those fights where, you know, Roosevelt seems like the type of guy where that loss would help him going forward. You know, just again, intel for him that he could take and apply going forward, and just work to improve. And you know, again, it's just so hard to go undefeated in this game. So I've said it before, but it's like just looking at fighters like Justin Gaethje, and there's been other fighters too, like Drew Dober. You know, like sometimes a loss is just like the best thing for a fighter. I mean, you could argue that you could learn more in a loss than you can a win. So good good effort by Roberts. Good for him and going out there and getting a finish. So there's that. Spike Carlisle versus Billy Quarantillo. This is the fight that we all hoped it would be. It was just exciting, action-packed from bell to bell. This is my other bet on the fight that, or on the card rather, that missed. I had 4 units on the fight does not go the distance. You know, we were just so, I guess, spoiled, for lack of a better word here, with how awesome this fight was. Spike got very tired there early on, but pushed through it. I mean, how tough is Spike Carlisle for, despite getting tired early on in the fight, pushed through that and just defended as best as he can, considering the circumstances. I mean, he just fought so tough for all 3 rounds. Billy, again, went out there, just a guy that's a cardio machine, super tough. Goes out there and gives 110% from bell to bell. Doesn't get discouraged if he's losing early on in the fight. And it was just an awesome fight. Another fight where, you know, fight of the night contender. I mean, it took place primarily on the ground, but it was just such an exciting fight where, similar to the Elliot Royval, where there was just so many different exchanges, reversals, takedowns, advances, etc., that it just made for an exciting bout. So I think this was a fight where both men's stocks went up. They both showed great toughness, durability, you know, grappling proficiency. So it was just an exciting fight. I'm glad that it played out like we all hoped it could. And again, another fight where I think both guys' stocks went up, and looking forward to seeing them both compete going forward. These are two fan-friendly type of fighters, as a lot of you know. Next fight, coming event, Blagoy Ivanov versus Augusto Sakai. This was my last bet on the night. I had 2.5 units on Sakai. Then I threw an additional 1.5 units on him. I liked him to win this matchup. I was a little bit perplexed why he wasn't throwing as much volume, but it kind of makes sense. I mean, the countering ability of Blagoy is definitely you know, like a threat in general. So he fought that fight, you know, not like timidly, but like in a way where he wanted to be selective with his shots, because, you know, Blagoy is a threat off the counter. Again, Blagoy is a guy who's been in there with Junior Dos Santos, Derek Lewis, and has never been finished in his entire mixed martial arts career as a heavyweight. Neither is Sakai. I mean, how impressive is that, to go so many fights fighting at heavyweight in professional mixed martial arts and never getting finished via strikes? I mean, the chins on both of these guys are just incredible. So fight, I guess, unsurprisingly, went to a decision. And, you know, it was a fight where they both fought so darn tough, bell to bell. It was one of those fights where, like, when these scorecards were read, I knew it could have gone either way. I thought that, and Daniel Cormier obviously pointed it out in that third round, that fence grab by Sakai in round 3 was like a swing there. You know, it could have very well been a swing with, you know, Blagoy converting that takedown. We wouldn't know for sure sitting where we're at right now, but that could have swayed that third round, and then we would have been looking at a Blagoy win here. So Sakai didn't throw it with as much volume as I thought he would. He didn't utilize as many leg kicks as I thought he would, and he didn't utilize as many front kicks as I thought he would. I just didn't think that, like, the volume while at range was there was as sufficient as I thought it was going to be. But it was still, again, good enough to fight competitively and then get the nod on 2 of the 3 judges' scorecards. So Blagoy, this is 2 split decision losses in a row, but by no means do I think he's, you know, going to get cut from the UFC. I mean, look at the guys that he's losing to. Derek Lewis, former title challenger, and Augusto Sakai, who, you know, has only fought, this is 4th fight in the UFC, but again, he's just a guy that I think, and others do too, where he's, you know, on the rise. He's definitely a solid heavyweight, to say the least. So, good effort by both men, no doubt, and once again, showing off their iron chins in this heavyweight division, which is, there just seems to be so many knockouts, but neither one of these guys has been knocked out. It's crazy. So, there's that. The main event, Gilbert Burns and Tyron Woodley, excuse me. This was one, again, I'll own it. I was wrong here. On my free audio breakdown, I picked Woodley. Excuse me, sorry, that was an ad. I picked Woodley to win, and I said why in there. It was just, it was a spot where, like, it was a pleasant surprise on the side of Burns. You know, he went out there, landed a couple takedowns. I didn't think he was going to land any takedowns with Woodley's superior wrestling pedigree. strong takedown defense per the numbers, and the size and strength advantage. And that was something that surprised, I mean, something again that I took away at weigh-ins, but again, I don't think it's more compelling than the stylistic matchup itself, but Burns, you know, definitely, they were more comparable in size at weigh-ins than I thought they would be. And I also thought there was a chance that it would be, the size would be more pronounced in favor of Woodley come fight time, because Woodley is a guy that does cut a lot of weight to this weight class. And I thought that the size advantage would be in favor of Woodley there, but they were pretty comparable in size. I mean, they were pretty close. I don't have the image exactly in my head, but, you know, Burns, I think this is a good weight class for him if he's being comparable in size with Woodley here, who, again, is a guy that's a big, strong guy for 170 pounds. And very good effort by Burns. Woodley, it's just, you know, this is two performances in a row where it's just been not ideal for him. I mean, there's no other way to say it. I mean, just from bell to bell, and these are two very talented fighters he's losing to, so no shame in that obviously, but it was just a little bit concerning seeing just the lack of urgency there. And you know, he was actually doing well when he was the aggressor and you know, being able to back Burns up, but it just wasn't enough to really get the win there. And Burns started off very strong, got the knockdown there in the first round, was able to advanced position on the ground. I thought the fight was going to be over in the first round there when Burns was in top position, but Woodley still is a BJJ black belt under Dean Thomas, I believe. So a tough guy to submit, no doubt, even when a guy like Gilbert Burns is on top. So very good toughness by Woodley showed for all five rounds, and just a very good performance by Gilbert Burns. I think the case could be made that he should be the one fighting Kamaru Usman. And I know in this game there's so much news going around, and it seems to be changing by the day, but I try to stay as informed as I can. And with Jorge Masvidal, what it's looking like, shifting his focus, so you could tell where I'm going with this now, shifting his focus to Nate Diaz here for that BMF title rematch, and Leon Edwards being in England for the time being, and Colby Covington, you know, for those of you that aren't aware, I'm sure most of you are, though, if not all of you, leaving American Top Team, is the immediate rematch for the title warranted? I don't know. There's obviously some ambiguity with those other fighters, but at least with Burns, we got a guy who's on a winning streak, just beat Tyron Woodley, former champion, a guy who, on camera, said he would fight Kamaru Usman, his teammate. So I think that would be the direction the UFC would want to go. I mean, Burns is a guy who stepped up on short notice more than once. He's riding a ton of momentum. He's done as much as he can, exceeded expectations more than once, and by a wide margin, just like last night. I don't see why he wouldn't be the first guy to get called up for this title shot. And again, I know I pointed out Edwards in England. I don't know for how long he's going to be able to, he's going to be able to travel over here. But it's looking like Burns is the front runner here. I mean, we'll have to obviously see how things shake out. And but, you know, as I'm looking at the rankings and, you know, just seeing how it's going to play out, I do think that Burns would be the party most likely to fight Kamaru. We'll see how it shakes out, but that would be my best guess. So that concludes my full breakdown for last night's UFC events. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You guys could follow me on Twitter at AJMMABetting. You guys could also follow me on Instagram at AJMMABetting. Same handle here to answer any questions you guys have. Love doing this. Don't feel like you're bothering me if you reach out and have a question about you know, anything as it pertains to this. Like, I love this so much, guys. So I'll make time in my day to address what I can. And yeah, just in the meantime, I'm going to be working hard on UFC 250, just grinding away there. Majority of the card is already researched and analyzed for the most part. Just got a couple more things to address, and I'll get that breakdown up and running, and I'll get my bets posted and notify, of course, once they are done so. So thank you guys again so much for tuning in, and hope you all have a nice day. Thank you.